Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am here to be your host and my name is Matt.
And I am here to be a co-host and my name is Cliff.
I almost went into really bad rap then. My name is Matt and I'm here to say podcast words.
No, just stop. Bad. I would not have joined you. I would have in fact left.
That would have been a really quick edit though.
That's true. It would have been a very short episode.
Stop recording, somehow convince you to come back to your computer to send me the audio and then we'd be done.
Nope, I'll just go and turn my NTD off. No more internet for me.
Just wipe your entire computer just to free it from the scourge of my raps.
Yeah.
My sweet rhymes.
It's got to be cleansed with fire.
So, it's been a week. Some video game stuff happened and some TV stuff as well.
It has, or some, at least some announcements of TV stuff has happened.
Not a lot happened, but they said a lot of stuff was gonna happen. Let's rapid fire this again, but actually rapid fire it.
We digress and tangent down. Way too easy.
Yeah, it's a problem. Okay, so yay or nay, hooray or boo, yes or no. I don't really know. What can be our like classic yes and no options?
I think it greatly depends on what we're talking about.
True. Should we just say yay or boo? Let's go with that for now. Take it for a test drive.
Well, I think we should throw in a meh as well, because some things are meh. Yeah.
There is a median point in these kind of discussions.
Or that we just don't care about one of us or the other. But it's news, but, you know, it might not affect me, you might love it, vice versa. So throw a meh in there as well.
Okay. Yeah. Just throw a hand in there.
Yeah.
Just right up in there. All right. I'm just going to go through these in no particular order. So, firstly, there was another Marvel trailer for another Marvel TV series that's coming up soon. Is it Fox's show? Gifted?
Yeah, it's a mutant show, so a Fox show.
Yeah, it's sort of a generic X show. So not the classic X-Men, not X-Force that are getting their own movie, just sort of other mutants.
Not Legion as well. So yeah, they're just doing another self-contained, I guess, mutant show about a different, I guess, group of mutants, so it looks like a young person's mutant show.
Yeah, it seems to be high school teens type aged mutants.
The trailer had Fred from Angel in it, so yay.
There was that.
I was a big fan of Fred. Loved me some Fred, especially when she went blue haired alien god Fred.
Illyria, yes.
Yes, that's the one. I very much like that. I like her, so I'll watch the show anyway, but I'll be very happy to see some more Fred action. Amy Acker. I should probably actually say her name, considering I like her that much. Amy Acker, who's great.
Yes. So it's the Whore of Highgarden and the Blue One. Those are kind of your descriptors for favoured female actresses.
No. Fred gets more props because she was super, super smart and nerdy, and she was great.
Fred was pretty good. It's too bad that they turned her into Illyria and then ended the series. Angel.
It was... She was getting too friendly, I guess. She was settling down as a character. So you immediately, because it's TV, you have to axe that shit out straight away.
They've actually been doing interesting stuff with her in the comics, like the continuation of Angel. I think up to Angel Season 10 at this point.
Ah, cool. I should actually read some of that, because the ending of the show just abruptly stops at the apocalypse in an alleyway.
And do you know where it picks up? The senior partners are pissed that they tried to lead a revolt, and they drop all of LA into hell. So there's like a season's worth of comics where it's just like LA existing in hell and people having to deal with that. Different demons taking over as lords of like Hollywood and all this stuff.
Cool.
It's pretty good. And Fred and Illyria start to have more of a shared experience instead of just completely taking over it. It goes in interesting directions. And these days it's kind of a buddy story about Fred / Illyria and Angel trying to deal with stuff on kind of the periphery of what's happening in the Buffy comics as well.
Right. Anyway, we immediately just ignored our own rules.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yay. I'm going yay with this because Legion was great. So hopefully they are doing it as seriously as they did Legion.
Okay. And apparently the brief description, first of all, it's from Bryan Singer. So that's a good kind of
watermark to start with. That is a flip of the coin, I think.
He was behind X-Men Apocalypse, though, so that was a pretty decent film.
And he was behind the original two?
And the originals, yeah.
But not three? I think he got a pass on that piece of crap movie.
Yeah. That, yeah. So yeah, the basic plot of Gifted is it's a family and they're two gifted teenagers, so they have two mutant kids, who are on the run after the government makes it adamantly clear there's no room for extraordinary beings. So maybe this is a world where mutants are known as opposed to being a surprise again. I'd really like to see a TV show set in a world where mutants are known and acknowledged and not kind of just happening for the first time.
Yeah, we get that kind of thing in the later X-Men movies.
But yeah.
The initial first couple are very heavy on the what do we do about this new, in inverted commas, yeah, threat.
Yeah, it's just that I get that if you want to have, you know, mutants are a thing, you need more sort of visibly mutated mutants, and that's expensive to do for practical effects, except for, you know, dipping what's-her-name in blue paint once every couple of years.
Yeah. The other thing is it's all too easy as well to have it as a social commentary on racism and sexism and homophobia, and so it all too easily plays into that. That's why you get the whole them coming out as brand new,
yeah,
thing.
I will never stop cringing at that scene from either X-Men or X2 where Bobby Drake goes back to see his parents and is like, have you tried not being a mutant?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on, could you be any more ham-handed with this?
Well, see,
like,
that's actually...
I'm pretty sure Bryan Singer is a gay man, so he should know how to deal with these things in a slightly more, like, tasteful and interesting manner.
Interestingly, when I heard that, I just thought that's actually probably something that someone who is just confronted by a bunch of shit straight away would just say, like, a dumb thought that enters their mind in kind of like a shocked way. And people say dumb shit like that in real life all the time. So I was just like, while that's the dumbest comment in the world, I'm like, yeah, that's something that someone would totally say.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Gifted is a yay from me, but a conditional yay, because we really know nothing about it other than they have the power to pull snacks out of vending machines.
Yeah. And the best thing we've had come out of the X-Men universe... for a while now has been Legion, so
oh yeah,
they've done a Deadpool and Legion and Wolverine, but they've been very individual things coming out, so we'll see how they actually deal with the more teenage aspect of it after doing the grown up versions really well. How they do the teenage stuff will be good to see, hopefully.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
I'd actually rank it Legion, Deadpool, Wolverine, to be honest. Ooh. I really enjoyed Legion. Deadpool was good, but Legion was amazing.
Deadpool gets a few extra bonus points from me just because I wanted that movie for 10 years. So it does get put up a little bit higher, and it's kind of led the way into the you can actually kind of do adult shows in the X-Men universe. But you know, we'll see. They're all three of those things are extraordinarily good.
Yeah.
And examples of good mutant media, so.
All right, moving on from that first quick point.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, yeah, connecting pretty safely. There is a Deadpool animated TV show coming to FX or FXX, masterminded by Donald Glover.
It gets a yep for Deadpool cartoon, adult Deadpool cartoon, and a definite yep for Donald Glover. So it's a double yep from me.
Yeah, it's a big, big yep from me because Donald Glover has proven his comedy chops, considering he's acted in comedy stuff and is a comedian.
And has created Atlanta as well, which
and
is very
Atlanta.
Good. So
yes, and Deadpool, like being allowed to go hog wild on that on the same network that brings us Archer. Yes,
if we get Deadpool Archer, that's just like a perfect premise for a show. If they just walked in and said we want to do Archer again but with Deadpool, that's all the pitch you would need, really.
Yeah, I am curious to see what kind of animation style they use, because there's a very kind of universal animation style for Marvel's TV shows across like the Guardians cartoon and Ultimate Spider-Man. I would hope they'd do something a bit more unique for Deadpool, especially being on FX. I don't know how I'd feel if they went down the same sort of animation path as Archer.
That could
actually be really cool.
Yeah, I just hope they are gonna do the little speech bubbles.
Yes, in it. That would be cool.
Because the speech bubbles would have been the one thing I would have really liked to see in the Deadpool movie. I think they could do it. They would just have to be careful how they did it.
Yeah, they used them in the Deadpool game.
Yes, and they were very good in the game.
But it isn't really so much a thing in modern Deadpool comics anymore. He doesn't have the two trains of thought.
That was, I think, a run that went for a while that had the... I think you can kind of separate the Deadpool runs by how many voices and which voices he's got in his head, I think, almost. But there was the long-running posh one, and there's the other one.
The kooky one, yeah.
Yeah, there was Deadpool in his head, and then there was the posh voice in his head at the same time. And that run went for a long time, I think.
Yeah. They kind of did a nod to it in the recent comics, because for a while, Deadpool was carrying the consciousness of a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, Agent Preston, in his head. So you'd have his sort of thoughts and then her thinking at him from inside his head. Like, so you'd have his yellow...
As if it didn't need to get more crowded in there.
Pink ones. Yeah, yeah. Not to mention he was carrying slapstick around in his head for a while. So that's a whole other thing. Anyway,
but yay.
Quick point
definitely
over.
Yays.
Yeah, it's a yay from me. I'm really interested to see if we get a teaser of it sometime soon. Because if they've announced that it's happening, you'd hope they have something to show for it soon. Even if it's just concept art.
What do you think of the odds that Nolan North will voice Deadpool?
Honestly, I'm pretty sure he did Deadpool in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
He did Deadpool in the game too, I think.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and I think Nolan North is just kind of the go-to.
I mean,
a lot of
honestly,
stuff.
Nolan North's his throne is being slowly taken over by what's his name from The Last of Us. Oh, I can't remember. He played Nathan Drake's brother in Uncharted 4.
Ah, okay, right. I mean, could we even get Glover himself playing Deadpool? Because he's got quite
really
a range.
Yeah, I mean that could be interesting.
He does the high-pitched kind of silly voice very well. That could play into Deadpool.
And hearing his work on the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon when he played Miles Morales Spider-Man on his first appearance didn't stick around for the full season run, which I was really bummed about because he's got a very good voice.
If he's creating the show, then he could get a double paycheck, as if he needs more money than people are throwing at him. But yeah, I think he could actually do a pretty decent job.
Yeah, I'm keen to see it. Next up, actually, let's keep going with TV news. They announced that there would be a television series for Judge Dredd. Cliff is fist pumping in the air for those who can't see this recording live.
The silence should be a powerful yay from me. The Dredd movie, fucking fantastic. I can't wait to see what they come up with. It's just in early development at the moment, so it hasn't been picked up or anything like that. But the confirmation was it is being developed. So he's hoping we get a Dredd TV show. I would love it if they did a TV show continuation of the Dredd movie, because the Dredd movie was pretty much a perfect Dredd story and movie. Everything about it was great. But yes, just give us more Judge Dredd in the modern style, because if anything needs to be gritty and dark and horrible and adult, it's Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Judge Dredd movie, but I have no sort of ongoing connection to the series, so it's a little bit of a meh for me. I'll check it out when it happens, but I'm not, like, counting the days.
You're not, like, salivating like I am right now?
No. I just knew as soon as I saw that news that, hey, Cliff will want to say some words about that, probably.
I have a bunch of Judge Dredd sitting on these bookshelves behind me.
So, yeah, that one, I don't think they said any dates. They just said it was a thing that was happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty good.
Come on, Netflix, pick it up.
Yeah, that would actually be good. They've got those Netflix bucks. Considering, like, just paying attention to Netflix the last couple weeks, almost every week they've been dropping a series I want to watch.
And it's going to continue for the next few weeks as well.
Yeah, there was Girl Boss, which is actually really good. Iron Fist, which is Iron Fist. The new season of Sense8, which I haven't even touched yet. A new series of Aziz Ansari's show, Master of None, which I keep meaning to check out. Next week is Kimmy Schmidt. It's just
2 weeks after that is Orange is the New Black,
which I'm like two seasons behind on now. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. And then not long after that will be Defenders. Like, that's August or something.
Yeah, it's not far away.
Yes, yeah, so, oh boy.
And Punisher has finished shooting, I think.
Yeah.
And Jessica Jones
very close, if not finished.
Started shooting. I think one of the others has started the second season as well.
Jess Jones?
I think, I swear I heard or read somewhere that they started the second season.
Okay. Would make sense, like if they're getting everyone out for Defenders, you may as well film some other stuff at the same time. But yeah, so much Netflix stuff, and I'm never going to catch up on any of it, good lord. But that's okay, because there's other stuff to talk about, like the fact that BioWare have made two weird announcements in the past week, kind of in combination. Firstly, that Mass Effect's future is on hold. they're not actively developing towards it, which is weird because it's pretty much been a continuous development chain since Mass Effect 1. So that's concerning, but also maybe a good thing. Like, I'm kind of leaning towards it being a positive. Andromeda is a pretty good game, but it's not a great Mass Effect game. Like, yeah. The series has a following for a reason, because it has its kind of tropes and stuff that people enjoy about it, and Andromeda just kind of missed the mark. Like, it was BioWare Montreal who led it, I believe, their first sort of outing with the series, and
because it was BioWare Edmonton that was behind the others, wasn't it? That led the others.
Yeah. So yeah, different team, not quite the same essence. Like, I really enjoyed what I've played of it so far, but just the things that are wrong with it, I'm just kind of like, So I'm kind of okay with them putting the series on hold for a while.
It seems like it suffered from being, we need to make another Mass Effect game, but we can't just have it be Mass Effect 1, 2, or 3, because that's done. We have to make a Mass Effect game while also not making a Mass Effect game, and it seems like they didn't make a Mass Effect game.
Yeah, there's kind of that conflict between wanting to adhere to what makes the series popular, but also doing something new so you're not just churning out the same stuff. Especially after Mass Effect 3's ending caused such a furor. Like, you need to make a change. And it seems like all of the changes they made weren't necessarily positive, including just some weird gaffes in terms of, like, dealing with introducing a transgender character who just kind of throws their entire backstory at you straight off the bat. And the relationship stuff being kind of lopsided between the options depending on who you're playing as, the story being a little bit clumsy. Combat's good, I love the combat, kind of the aerial movement and stuff is really cool, but the story stuff is what drives me through those kind of games. And
they fixed a bug where now you can't bang multiple people in a relationship.
Yeah, I did see that. You can't, Cora and PB, who are meant to dislike each other, so you're not meant to be able to romance both of them. They kind of patched that out.
Except, nope, hot three-way action. Hey, man, if you are proficient enough to get two people to want to consistently, like, have sex with you and each other and not tear each other's throats out, you deserve to get that action.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to play through more Mass Effect. Side note, they put a new patch out this week which fixed some more of the ongoing bugs, but also for deluxe edition owners added new casual clothes. I didn't get the deluxe edition because I was kind of wavering on spending extra money on not that much new stuff. I went and paid for the $8 for the upgrade because on top of adding one more casual outfit by default, a hoodie kind of similar to the N7 hoodie you got in Mass Effect 3, which is good because his default outfit is just like a shitty bomber jacket that looks like it's made out of glad wrap. That's good. And then they added a new costume this week, which is basically, he looks like he's going to Future Sounds. Right. He's wearing like a stringer singlet and headphones around his neck. He looks like a music festival trash bag, and I love it.
I was going to say, you mean like a douchebag?
Yeah, he really does. The shirt is like from one of the Blasto movies, so it's a little nod back to the original trilogy with the Hanna-led action films.
I don't remember them.
Ah, did you not do the side quests in all the games?
Well, I did, but, you know, I glossed over them a bunch to get to the endings because I was playing through it quick.
There was at least one side mission, I think in Mass Effect 2 or 3, where you're on the set of a Blasto movie and they make you go and do a side quest for the Hanna actor who plays Blasto.
I don't remember that one.
Nah. Well, I thought it was a cute nod, but yeah, he looks like trash, and it's great because I was at a point in the game where I was off making my alliance with the new race in Andromeda, the Jarl's race. So I'm there standing at the table sort of discussing how we're going to fight the great evil in the universe while he's wearing an outfit that looks like he's about to go jump in a mosh pit.
And it was 10 minutes away from, like, pinging off his tits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, we need to work together. Unts, 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 unts. Like, 2 centimeters away from a nip slip. Just real, real good stuff. And the female rider has the same outfit, which is just even funnier.
Wow.
So, yeah. Okay, yeah. Hold off on Mass Effect till you can get it right, I guess. Until you've finished fixing the game that you've made. The other bit of BioWare news was that their new IP, which they've sort of been talking on and off about for a year, they're really happy with how it's going, so they're going to push back the release date.
They've probably increased the scope of it in some way and realized, yeah, this is actually going really well. We could probably do this to it, and are now doing it, and it's going to take longer. or they really don't want to screw up and have again, it launch like a piece of shit. So yeah, those are two possible options. I'm kind of meh about it. Until I know what it actually is, I don't really care about it.
That's it. The fact that they haven't said anything about what this new IP is, like, it's really hard to care, except for the fact that, hey, we're not going to let you play it for even longer. That just seems like, give me a reveal or something. I know E3 is coming up, so we'll probably get it there, but I need to know what it is before I know if I care about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a meh for me as well. In other news, some leaks started happening for the next Assassin's Creed game, next Assassin's Creed, which has been on hiatus for a year, which is a break I think they really needed, because we've had an annual...
Games out non-stop like COD games, and no one gives a shit about the constant volume of generic stuff being brought out.
Yeah, like pumping out an annual shooter is one thing, pumping out a yearly kind of collectible open world story-driven narrative, that's just asking for trouble. And yes, they've got like 300 studios working in tandem to develop these games, but it shows, because you have disparate elements throughout all these games. So the pause has been nice, and now they're saying that the new Assassin's Creed, which was originally leaked as being called Empire, will be called Origins, and will actually be detailing the first Assassin's Order in Egypt.
See, that could be interesting. Putting the word Origins in the title just makes me think of X-Men Origins Wolverine, and well, that movie kind of speaks for itself, so...
But Deadpool doesn't.
But what? Oh yeah, I get it, because of the thing where the... Yeah. You mean where Baraka rocks up at the end of the movie?
Yeah.
In Deadpool's place. Yeah, putting the word Origins in the title was very tough. It's a ballsy move, considering there's a lot of... Whenever a Marvel movie comes out with a new character, the talk is always origin story. People are sick of seeing origin stories, to the point where Spider-Man is not an origin story, even though it's the first one of the MCU.
Yeah, so, it's... Yeah. Interestingly, they're kind of treating it like a trick origin story, because he starts off with everything, then he loses his suit, so he goes back to being sort of back to basic Spider-Man. So they've kind of found a loophole there.
Yeah, and they can kind of, with Black Panther, they can kind of get around it a little bit, because he was introduced and his origin, as we know him, I guess, was in Civil War. So they kind of get around that one a little bit as well. Captain Marvel's going to be a hard origin story.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's asking a lot of the audience to kind of get invested in Marvel stuff. But yeah, Assassin's Creed Origins seems like it'll be dating back to the original Order of Assassins, or Hashashin.
I do like the going ahead for the Egyptian aesthetic. So we're going to see a lot of gold.
Yeah,
a lot of desert, a lot of sand.
If I can climb inside a pyramid, fuck yes.
You know that there's going to be a final fight with some sort of pharaoh in his own tomb or something like that. Which, hey, cool. Why not?
Yeah, and apparently it'll have boats in it, because you really can't have an Assassin's Creed game without boats anymore.
Oh, you've got a pirate up and down the Nile, man.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool that they could be going back a step. Also means they'll have to sort of reduce the number of weird gadgets you've got, because they kind of went a bit hog wild with that in the recent games. To be fair, the grappling hook to get up the Victorian London buildings was very cool. But, yeah, you need to kind of calm down a bit if you're going back to the original guys. These are dudes who would have still been cutting off their middle fingers so they could put knives through them.
Yeah, and let's face it, we don't have a grappling hook now, let alone back then. So, just a little bit crazy with the gadgets there. I'm going to give it a meh, just purely because I've only played about 20 minutes of an Assassin's Creed game. I haven't seen the movie, don't really... I'm not invested in it at all, so it's a meh for me, but it could be cool. We'll see.
I'm going to give it a yay with a question mark if they confirm that they'll have outside of the Animus story bits as well, which were my favourite bits of the original Assassin's Creed games. Then it'll become yay with an exclamation mark, because I miss that stuff, and they just haven't done it the last couple games. I get that not everyone loved it, but I did. Give it to me. I want it. A couple of sort of throwaway bits and pieces. There is a new project on the way from the guys who made Parappa the Rapper and Guitaru Man, called Project Rap Rabbit, which A, is a very good name, and B, that's a pretty good kind of pedigree to come from, like rhythm game wise, so I'd be keen to see what happens there. They really haven't said anything about what it is though.
It seems like it's going to be another one of these games like Yooka-Laylee, where the people that behind those original iconic games are coming back to make a similar but legally distinct from version of that same game. So, you know, we'll see. There's been hit and miss along the way with those type of games.
I think they still have the rights to it, though, because Parappa the Rapper Remastered dropped onto the PSN about 3 weeks ago, and there's vague rumours that Parappa 2 might get a similar treatment, or maybe Umjamalami, which would be cool, because I never got to play those games, and I'm kind of interested to go back and play them. I did the demo of Parappa, which was really short, like, you literally only got to play the tutorial song, and that's it. But it was kind of cool.
I'm going to give it a meh, just because I don't really know anything about it, and the teaser was absolutely nothing except still.
It was a very Japanese teaser, yeah.
Yeah, one piece of artwork, pretty much, and a bit of music with a title card, so I'm going to give that a meh, just mostly because I don't buy into this bullcrap teaser announcement stuff they do these days. Showing a title card is not a teaser. It's not. We know what it's called already.
I mean, the whole thing with having an announcement trailer, which is literally just, hey, we're announcing a thing, that's a very Japanese thing.
It's also complete and bullshit.
It is kind of bullshit. Yeah. The art design in that one image they've shown is kind of cool, so it'd be interesting to see if it's just kind of an evolution of the style from those old games, and gameplay-wise, which one it's going to draw from more. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rhyme, which is an interesting puzzle game in the vein of Last Guardian and those kind of games, is coming up. There was a bit of drama a couple weeks ago because they announced that the Nintendo Switch version would be $10 more than every other version, and people had a bit of a shit about that, so they came back and said, okay, we've heard your feedback, and even though there's more development cost involved in moving it to the Switch because it is a unique architecture, we're going to remove that, and now it'll just be the same price. That's nice. Good.
Except they didn't exactly say that, though, did they? What they said was that it would be, they're going to do something with it where you get the music or the soundtrack included with it, so it's effectively the same price as the game plus the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And you can pay extra for the soundtrack if, yeah, there's some weird like caveat that they put in on that.
They've aligned it with the deluxe edition versions of the game instead of just being $10 more than that for the base. So it's not great, but it's a good solution. The problem is, a couple days after that, they said, oh, hey, Australia, you're still paying $80. When everywhere else it's like 50 or 60.
Yeah, so we're just going to say, I'm going to give that one a, I'm going to break our yay or boo or meh and say, fuck you, because...
Yeah, honestly,
anyone that's perpetuating this whole it costs more in Australia bullshit.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the fuck you boat as well, because the reasoning they gave for the higher price in Australia was localization costs. Fuck off. There's no localization cost. The Switch is a universal platform, it's unique architecture, and it's a game that is a puzzle game without dialogue. What are you localizing? Nothing. Bullshit.
Yep. Unless I hear a character or see a character at some point say, "Oh, give us a ciggy, you can't." Localization is bullshit.
I would pay the extra money if that did happen
exactly.
In the game,
but it's not.
But unless they can confirm
yeah.
That pre-purchase. Yeah, I mean, it's a game where you run around solving puzzles. Like as we were saying before the show, like if there's subtitles on the screen at some point and they have center spelt the American way, I don't care. I can live with that.
We can understand American English. It's really not that different. Not at all.
And you know, you can't even use the excuse that it's the cost of Australian classification anymore, because there's a universal classification system where you fill out a survey and it classifies your game for every region simultaneously. It was specifically designed for smaller scale titles so that they could be classified in more expensive or particular regions, because it's a universally accepted test.
And if you try and claim some sort of shipping thing because we're further away, a guy I work with bought a cigarette USB charger for his car. It cost 3 cents, $0 shipping. So if you're going to claim that something can be, it costs money to ship to Australia, I call bullshit, because stuff gets shipped from Hong Kong all the time and it is super cheap to the point of it doesn't actually cost anything.
There is a cost, but it's not the exorbitant cost that it used to be.
No.
I mean, yes, go back 5-10 years, and it was prohibitively expensive to import something from America or wherever. But nowadays, they remembered, oh yeah, Australia's on the same planet, so that's cool. And now it does not cost an arm and a leg to get a book delivered from Amazon. It's just...
Exactly.
It's excuse-making, and I hate it. I want to play that game. I would love to play it on the Switch, because it's the kind of thing where I'd want to sort of take it on the go, solve puzzles quickly. But if they're going to try and justify it has to be more expensive because bullshit reasons, no, I'm not paying for that.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's time that junk stops, and they stop trying to make excuses for it, because it's just not... The excuses they're making aren't valid excuses.
No, it makes me really angry. It's the same thing as Japan and Japanese games getting a pass for, oh, it's a cultural difference when they handle something about gender or race or sexuality badly. No. Unacceptable. If you're going to make a game with an intent to release it on the worldwide stage, for instance, Persona 5, you can't have, like, incredibly effeminate, like, stereotypically gay men there who molest one of your main characters and then say, oh, that's just a Japanese thing. It's like, no, that's offensive. And you need to be thinking of your entire audience when you do this stuff. Like, there have been games in the past in the Persona series where they had basically a blackface character. Like, think blackface, big red lips. And that was one of the characters in Persona 2, I think. They reworked him into a white guy when they released it locally. But that was just... that. No, you can't do that. You exist in the world. You have to adhere to world standards.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the social justice corner here on The Endorsement. I need to say something like that every episode, otherwise my heart will explode. It's a very rare condition. It's called Tumbleritis. Actually, it's not that rare. It's very common.
You should get rid of Tumblr. I hear that's the only cure.
But then where would I get a constant stream of naked people? Except the rest of the internet.
Yeah, I was going to say literally anywhere else on the internet.
Oh, dear. Last little bit of news I've got here. It's just another really kind of nothing bit of news, but the Pokemon channel on YouTube removed their kind of reveal trailer videos for Pokemon Sun and Moon, which kind of points to they might be officially making an announcement about this third version Pokemon Stars that everyone's been rumouring about. The belief is they've kind of removed it, as they have in the past with sort of re-release or expanded versions of games to sort of prevent brand confusion. So it's hinting that they might be releasing a third edition of Pokemon Sun Moon.
I'm going to go meh with this one. I do love me Pokemon, but when you're making a same game version of a game that's been the same game for multiple years, I'm going to go meh.
I'm going to go provisional meh. If you announce it and it's on the Switch and it has some new content, then I'll be excited.
If they bring it to the Switch, it will get a bit more of... it'll get less of a meh from me. Purely because there are actually... then saying we could make a Pokemon game for, and then look around the room to make sure that no one's actually like watching or overhearing and go, on a console. The thing that we've been crying for years and years and years for.
It's a nice baby step. It's kind of a console, but it's also a portable, so it's kind of like the transition phase so they can sort of make their way to console eventually. Yeah. Up-resed kind of Pokemon graphics, that would be amazing, because, I mean, the Switch is not the most powerful device on the market, but it definitely has a good bit of oomph behind it.
But let's face it, if you have a 3DS game and you put it up onto a 50-inch TV, nah, that ain't going to work too well.
I've seen emulated versions of 3DS games, including the Pokemon games, sort of run through an emulator, where they don't have the graphical restrictions and, you know, a bit of anti-aliasing or whatever, and they look real good, even without any rework.
They kind of look good. They
kind of look real good.
They kind of look good. So they'll never look as good as a game made properly for the thing. They will never get close, but they won't have the jagged edges as much because they can render the 3D in a higher resolution. They look okay. Remember, you're talking to a guy who's a PC Master Race guy. So I'm going to judge down all of the graphical stuff from just consoles in general, especially handhelds.
You know, it's a real blow to my personal self-esteem that despite your PC Master Race bullshit, I still love you and consider you a friend. I mean, Why do I hate myself like this? Why do I let you into my life with your bullshit?
Look, I mean, you can say people can complain about the PC Master Race thing as much as they want, but statistically, realistically, games never look as good anywhere else as they do on PC. That's just it's just a fact. Hey, I'm just saying. I got mod packs for Mass Effect that made them all look way better than they ever did on a console.
I'm sure you did. So yeah, that's about all the news I've got for this week. Did we forget anything? Tell us. We might care.
Well, I got a bit of news as well. Apparently, I haven't seen it. Apparently, Alien Covenant is a piece of shit.
I have heard that.
Yeah. It's not as bad as Prometheus, apparently, but it's still not great.
Yeah. And at time of recording, I'm going to go see that tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So, going for a friend's birthday. Fun fact, I've never seen a single Alien film. Well, and I'm going to see a sequel to a spin-off or prequel.
You'd gone on about how it's borderline that I'm still your friend after being a PC gamer, and yet you haven't seen a single Alien movie.
Not a single one. I've seen bits and pieces of different films, but yeah, never watched an entire film.
You need to.
I could list off a bunch of movies I haven't seen to really destroy this friendship.
It is now your obligation to watch all of them before you go tomorrow.
I mean, I was considering watching Prometheus tonight because I know Covenant is a direct sequel to that, but
and somehow in this universe, it's a direct sequel to that, and Covenant is a prequel to Alien, yet Prometheus isn't a prequel to the Alien movies.
Okay, what?
Okay, so Ridley Scott, who has been responsible for some great, great movies, don't get me wrong, somehow decided that Prometheus was not an Alien prequel.
Okay.
Even though it is a direct Alien prequel. And then he's made Alien Covenant, which is a direct sequel to Prometheus, because it deals heavily with some of the stuff from Prometheus, or the aftermath of Prometheus, and that is an Alien prequel. Yet, how does that make Prometheus not a prequel to the Alien movies? Yeah, this is the thing. And everyone has that exact look on their face like you do right now.
What?
Yep. Don't know, man.
Okay.
Yep. Don't know.
In a way, I'm now kind of glad I really have no investment in this series, because that's bullshit. And I cared about these movies, that would be really troubling.
No, first of all, just ignore the shit out of Prometheus. Watch Alien, then watch Aliens. And Aliens is fantastic. Alien is very, very good as a horror movie. A very tense horror movie. Aliens is an amazing action horror movie. It's up there with Terminator 2 in terms of action horror, because Terminator is kind of a horror movie. So those two movies are two examples of sequels that are better than the originals.
Okay.
The first one set up the universe, and then those two movies, T2 and Aliens, then take that and run with it in an amazing direction. And they're both fantastic to watch. So watch Alien, then Aliens. Alien 3 is okay. Resurrection is kind of one of those movies that's actually bad, but I really enjoy it. It's really great at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just not Aliens, basically. But it's still kind of fun to watch. And then there's Prometheus, which... there's not enough time to talk about what is happening in that movie. Except it's got Fassbender, Charlize Theron, and...
Yeah.
Wait, she was in it?
All I know about it is that it had Robot Fassbender in it.
Well, you're about to see Robot Fassbender again tomorrow, I think.
So I hear. Yeah, I'll check it out. I just watched Fassbender in the Assassin's Creed movie the other week, actually. So I've had my fill of good actor, bad movie recently.
I mean, he's great as Magneto as well in some very good X-Men movies and some okay X-Men movies.
Yeah, but Assassin's Creed was not a great film, even though he was trying his hardest and was actually allowed to use his natural accent for once, which was kind of nice.
Does he even know what his own accent is anymore?
I don't think so. But yeah, I will. I'll check out Covenant over the weekend and see what I think, with no sort of cultural touchstones to work from. I did see a video pop up in my YouTube subscription feed for like a 5-minute quick guide to the alien chronology, so maybe I'll just watch that. I know that there's some black aliens, and they've got tongues that are little aliens, and that's about it. Chestbursters.
Sorta. You're kinda right. In places.
I'm almost definitely right.
I mean, there's chest bursters.
Chest bursters and face kisses and...
Huggers, my friend. Hugs.
And, well, yeah, I know everything about Alien. It's,
apparently.
It's very good when they have the gun and the beep-boop construction suit.
Yeah. But yeah, it's apparently not great. It's got some good moments in it, but it's just not up to scratch. Interestingly, Ridley Scott also came out and said the Neil Blomkamp Alien stuff isn't happening anymore, which is a shame, because Neil Blomkamp had some really weird and cool shit going with it, and it just seems like Ridley Scott has come back and gone like, well, I am Alien, I'll do it. No Neil Blomkamp, and maybe after this that will change and then people will go, oh, alright, Mr. Scott, cool, we're going to go over in this direction now with this guy named Neil and yeah, make a better movie.
I mean, Neil Blomkamp, he's done some good work. I really enjoyed District 9 for one, mm-hmm. and that was a little bit alien-y, so that's a pity.
And Elysium was very very kind of high sci-fi-y.
Yeah.
Very classic sci-fi in a sense as well. But I think some of the designs, did you ever see any of the stuff they did? Like
I
any
think
of
I remember
concept
seeing
art?
It in passing, but not caring about Alien, didn't really pay attention.
It was super weird and it basically just kind of modernized it. Went more Geiger weird with it.
Okay.
So it was all just very... It was just getting... I don't want to say the word weird again, but it was just getting a lot more weird and out there than, I guess, than what we consider blockbustery. And cheaper and kind of less... More standardized, I guess, is what you'd think when you think blockbuster. Just kind of more formulaic. It looked like it was getting way more out there.
Well, that was 40 minutes of really quick news, so you're welcome, everybody. Wrap up with what we've been playing this week. Clifford, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing more PlayerUnknown's Battleground with varying levels of success.
I saw that they raised a bunch of money for charity recently, which was pretty cool, like $220,000 or something.
They did?
Yeah, I think it was some sort of event. I just kind of skimmed it, but I was like, cool. They're doing something good with their sort of popularity. Very good.
Cool. I was not aware of it. But yeah, just playing it some more. Getting now that I've played it a bunch more, it is very up and down. It seems like the balance of weapons isn't quite right. I was wearing full body armor. I got hit by two rounds from low caliber guns, very low caliber guns, and died when I hit a guy four or five times with a high caliber machine gun at close range, and it didn't kill him. So I was not particularly happy about that. And yeah, last night someone got hit with a crowbar once and died when we were playing. Which,
well, hit the right point on the skull, and that would be realistic.
Don't get me wrong, that's cool. But I think James, one of my mates, got killed by a single punch earlier today. So well, again, while possible, in a computer game, you kind of don't want that kind of power. Like, why would you even need guns if you can just punch the shit out of people?
Yeah.
So it just seems like they need to like tweak it a bunch to get it going. But it, you know, it's good fun. It's tense. My heart was pounding again. I got to number four the other day, and yeah, it was cool. It was crazy. I was just not in a good position. You are. What makes the game very difficult at the top end of the game, when there's very little people left, is the random circle that you have to get inside of. It becomes very. Once you get to the. Getting to the top, say, 30 is very easy. Well, it's not very easy, but you can get to the top 30 with consistency, with certain tactics. Then it gets tougher from there. Getting to the top 10 is probably the hardest the game's going to get, because at that point, it's all about RNG. So where the circle appears with respect to you, it will either favour you, or it will screw you, or it'll be okay. And it's heavily reliant on that. If you are at a spot in cover and the circle just keeps moving on and on and on and around you, you are at a massive advantage over the people that have to actually move, because you're in such a small area that you can just see anyone moving and gun them down as they're moving. So if you don't have to move and you can stay in cover in those final parts of the game, you are going to get very high.
Well, yeah. I've sort of spent the week between two different games. Prey, which I've sort of dived pretty deep into since I did not have the fortitude to stop myself from buying it last week. So that's actually been pretty fun. There was an exploit in the crafting system that was found almost immediately after release of the game. So one of the big draws for Prey is it's kind of got a system shocky inventory system. You can go around picking stuff up, then you take it back to the recycler, drop all the junk in there, and it gets sort of converted into cubes of material. So organic, synthetic, exotic, which is stuff you take off the Prey aliens, the Typhon, and organic, synthetic, and metallic or something. So you get crafting recipes for basically a 3D printer, and you have to have certain numbers of cubes to build each thing. So it's all about scrounging for stuff to be able to make more ammo or an extra gun or something like that. Problem was, immediately after release, someone found out that if you recycle a bunch of stuff, get those cubes, and then take the cubes, split them into two piles, and drop them back into the recycler, it doubles the amount.
Fantastic.
Something is wrong with the maths in the game. Also, the fact that it shouldn't let you recycle already recycled materials. But
it sounds like a W item cheat all over again from Final Fantasy VII.
A little bit, yeah. It's so basically, I went from scrounging to find two cubes of exotic material to make a new hypo stim or whatever, to having 2,000 of everything, and suddenly ammo is not a restriction anymore. I don't have any shame in having done that. I love these atmospheric games, but if it's atmospheric and scrounging for ammo, I'll usually get put off and not play it. So taking that out of the equation, also immediately after finding the crafting recipe for the neuro mods, the items you need for skill upgrades, meant that I could basically have every ability that I wanted straight off the bat.
Nice.
Yeah, so I went around as a little bit of a superpowered version of Morgan Yu, the player character. But it's good because I've been able to enjoy the game and the atmosphere without having to worry about constantly dying, which is always kind of the bullshitty part of these kind of games. Still, even having all the powers, the first half of the game is incredibly frustrating because the base level enemies, the mimics, kind of the equivalent of headcrabs in Half-Life, they have the ability to mimic objects. So you'll wander into a room and maybe notice that there's two chairs sitting next to each other, and then as soon as you walk up to it, one of those chairs will come to life and attack you because it's a mimic. And it's real frustrating and intimidating because you go around, as I said last week, smacking every object just in case it's a mimic, until about the halfway point when you get the psychotrope. It's basically a scanner helmet, and the first mod you get for it is the ability to detect mimics. So you can walk into a room, put on your helmet, and see where all the mimics are. And it tags them, so you can sort of track them. Fantastic.
Because it seems kind of game-breaking as well at the same time.
You would think, but as soon as you get that ability, much harder versions of the Typhon start generating in the world. Right. So high-level phantoms and sort of other upper echelon enemies. You also, not long after that, start encountering the greater mimics, which you can't detect with that mod.
Right,
and they can
okay.
assume the form of a more varied variety of objects, and I don't think they need to copy something, because a lot of the times I found I'd just be walking past a crate, a single crate, and it would be a mimic and attack me like a fucker. They also resist the glue cannon that lets you kind of lock them in place to fight them. So they become pretty frustrating until you can later on upgrade the helmet again to start being able to detect them also.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it takes one of the stresses away from the game and then just drops a whole bunch of other shit on you.
Right, right.
Very good pacing. Because you get this like split second, it's like, aha, you can't surprise me anymore. And then you meet a nightmare, which is a 2-story tall black monster who stomps you to death. They are not fun.
I don't know, they sound like pretty good dudes.
Yeah, they're pretty quality. They get their own theme song, so that's nice.
See, they just seem to me like Gorp from Harry Potter. They just don't know their own strength. They just want to be friends and pick you up and have fun. But
yeah,
they don't know that they're crushing
stops.
You to death. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with that. It's kind of an open world game as well, so you can explore at your leisure. I've been having fun just going around messing with stuff. I found an alternate ending by accident, so that was kind of funny. It's like, oh yeah, the game's over and you let everyone die. Good job. so I'll have to keep playing to get the real ending. I think I might have guessed the twist in the story. I'm not going to say it, A, in case I'm wrong, and B, in case I ruin the game for anyone else.
It was all a dream the whole time.
If you're looking for the clues, you feel like there's going to be a twist to the story, it's pretty easy to spot, at least from my perspective. So I'm interested to get to the actual end of the game and see if I'm right or I'm just reading too much into it. The other game I've been playing this week, though, is an indie title I've been holding off on playing called Little Nightmares. It is on all the consoles and PC. It's kind of in the vein of Limbo and that other game that was like Limbo that we were talking about a couple weeks ago.
Inside?
Inside. Kind of you're a kid exploring a weird world and it's very easy to die. This one has some weird, weird design. You're basically on, I think, a cruise ship or something. Some sort of ocean-based platform. And you're exploring, trying to avoid all these giant adults who will kill you. And there's lots of creepy stuff going on. You find them sort of... It looks like they're harvesting kids for some reason. I have not gotten far enough in to see what's going on. And plus, there's no dialogue or anything, so it's all kind of environmental storytelling. But yeah, there's some weird shit. And like, you have adults who have incredibly long arms and stumpy legs, so they can reach down, you know, shafts when you try and escape from them and stuff like that. So it's all very kind of body morphy and weird.
Yeah, body morphing, like elongated limbs and stuff like that. Very creepy.
Yeah, it also means you get some really nice shots, because it's all kind of 2.5D, you're on a flat plane. At one point you get captured pretty early in the game, and when you wake up, the view's kind of locked on you in the cage, and you just see these super long arms kind of reach out and pour around for the cage next to you, grab it, and drag it off screen. So, very kind of intimidating. A lot of play with darkness as well. You've got a little lighter you can light to see around, but that attracts some enemies, and yeah, it gives you a very limited field of view. So, very kind of creepy stuff. I like it.
Nice, nice.
Anything else you've been playing?
I did play a game called Strafe. Now, the folks that distribute Strafe were nice enough to give us both some review copies of the game.
Mm-hmm. I have not had the chance to get into it yet, so I'd be interested to see what you've experienced with it so far.
It's a 90s shooting game with, this is going to sound weird, modern 90s graphics.
Yeah, it's kind of a very specific aesthetic they're putting out with the game there.
Yep, it's very pixelated, and all the designs are straight out of things like Doom, Duke Nukem, Quake especially, is a big one. But it goes back to those original pseudo 3D and 3D games back in that era. It's quite good. It's very difficult. It's not easy at all. So if you are not good at it, in fact, one review I read on it basically said, if you think it's too hard, get good. Stop being a bitch. Which is fair. It's a very difficult game.
That's one way to do it.
One thing I've noticed is it doesn't seem to have any kind of save feature on it that I've seen.
Yeah, the way I've seen it sort of described is it's more of a roguelike shooter, and you play till you die, and then it's all procedurally generated, so you just have to try and get as far as you can.
Yeah, which sucks in the aspect of you can't just play it for a few minutes. So you need to have a couple of hours to play it out to start getting any kind of interesting gameplay out of it, in terms of getting like leveling up and ranking up and stuff like that. So that is a bit annoying that you can't save your progress in any way. Even if you complete a level, it'd be nice if you could just continue on that playthrough. But yeah, it's alright. It's got a secondary mode, which is like a horde mode, okay, where you're fighting through. That one seems to kind of save. You collect blood from your enemies, and it fills up a meter. Yeah, it's okay. The sound effects are straight out of Doom or Quake. It just, if you want to play those two games but in a modern roguelike kind of setting, then this is the game for you. There's the animations for the enemies, they're terrible, but they're deliberately terrible. Everything's stylized to make it look like a crappy Quake game in the modern stuff. So the music is great. When you die, you get the blood coming down the screen like in Doom. When you get hit, you make that sound.
Ugh.
Yep. So everyone knows that sound from Doom. So yeah, it's like that. It's quite good. The menu has this thing which I kind of want to talk about because it seems to be a very modern thing to have in games. You're in the menu, but you're in the first person from your character, and when you move your mouse around to select the different parts of, in this case, the console in front of you in your space station or your ship, it moves the camera around to point at different objects in the cockpit.
Okay.
And that has been in a bunch of games in the last couple of years.
Yeah, immediately pulls me to Borderlands is the first instance.
Yep. So, and yeah, you're just sitting in your cockpit and you have your main console in front of you to start playing the game, and you can go and view the tutorial by picking up like a logbook that's on the dash in front of you to your right. To exit, there's a switch at the top, but when you look up, you have to pull like a big lever down in front, and it exits you from the game. So it's that kind of thing. Again, stylized to make it look like the 90s. But it seems to be something that is in more and more games these days, where you are actually, the camera moves around with your selection, with your mouse pointer, as you're looking at different things. So you get, I guess like an experience on the menu. It's not just a list of things.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, design-wise, doesn't take a lot of effort, but it does make the experience feel a bit more customized, a bit more tailored to the overall game. As opposed to just, like a checklist that comes up on the screen with maybe a nice background image.
Yeah, so I've been playing that. It's quite good. It's going to take a bit of practice to get good, but it was quite fun. I don't know, is it multi? I think the Horde mode might be multiplayer.
That's what I was wondering, because I was hoping we could get in together if it does have any kind of multiplayer mode to see who is the best at gun.
I predict me, because you're not much of a gun player.
Yeah, the last time I was really heavily invested in FPS games was around the age of Doom and Quake and Half-Life 1. Half-Life 2 was probably the last relatively pure shooter that I cared about.
It is single player only.
Ah, okay.
It is pretty early on, though. It might even be early access.
I think it was released last week, so we kind of got copies pre-release. So it was the preview code still, but it has now dropped officially onto Steam.
Right, okay. They could potentially put it in later, but it's kind of fun. It would be nice if you could play it for just a few minutes at a time, like half an hour at a time, and come back to it, but at this point you can't. It's alright. There's a bunch of different guns, rail guns. You mostly going around, you're a scrapper, so the intro is... think, did you ever play Red Alert or the Command & Conquer games?
I have seen a little bit of these scenes, yeah.
Yeah, so you get this, in between levels or at the start of the tutorial, you get an FMV of a lady introducing you to your new career as a scrapper. So you get to go out and you're on a hellish space station out in the middle of nowhere collecting scrap to send back to, I guess, the core worlds. So they can profit off of your dangerous work, and so yeah, you're just out there fighting hordes of evilness for stuff. It's straight out of the 90s. It is ridiculous. The video clip, the FMV was amazing in how bad it was. It's kind of good fun. It's not going to be for everyone. I enjoyed what it is, but I just wish there was some sort of progression where I could come back to it.
Yeah, no, I'm keen to get in and try, see how I go with it, so hopefully I'll have something to say about that next week. But I think for this week, that will pretty much bring this episode to a close.
Yeah.
So, thanks again, as usual, for listening in for episode while we spent most of it just rambling about the news. One of these days we will actually do rapid-fire news as rapid-fire, but not this week. So for this week, you've been listening to The Indoorsman, which is just me and Cliff having too much time to do this crap.
So our intro and outro music is Fuck Side Change Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. You can find his stuff on Bandcamp or just by doing searches of him on Google, and then it will take you to a vast plethora of places you can go to get his stuff and listen to it and whatnot.
Exactly. His album is Pay As You Like, so you can sort of specify how much you want. If you enjoyed the snippet of the music you hear at the start and finish of this episode, why not check it out in full on his profile and maybe chuck a couple of dollars his way. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at Ponk.
And you can find me at Cliff and Monkey, and the show itself at the _ Indoorsman.
You can also find the show's weekly cover art on Instagram at Indoorsman Podcast. I put it up there because I put modicums of effort into it, and I'm really sad that iTunes doesn't show them or give the option to show them, because I try real hard, you guys. I Photoshop for like 5 minutes an episode. So check it out. If you've got any comments, questions, or other bits of news you want to drop on our faces, you can email us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com or find us on Facebook.
If you'd love to subscribe and review to our podcast,
shut up,
podcast on iTunes, it helps us get our name out there, brings us up the list, more people can listen to us, and we can build our power further to become evil gods in the future at some point and control the entire human race.
Yeah, still waiting on that first review, so you could be the one who sets the stage for everyone's opinion of our show. Just think of the power that would give you, and also the fact that it would let me know if we find out when a review appears on our podcast, because I don't know if we get told or not. We
should just get our mums to do a review on there.
Yeah, that is an option, but let's maybe...
It was a great podcast about some things, and both boys are the most handsomest boys in the world.
Also, you should call your grandmother.
I can't. Oh, unless I have a ghost phone. But, you know, I guess I should call my mother more then.
Instant. Yeah, that's an option. You live in the same state as yours. You probably should see her more than I see mine.
I went shopping with mine this morning.
Well, there you go. You're a very good son. And this very good son, his name is Cliff.
And this other guy who we have no verifiable evidence of being a good son or not is Matt.
Thank you. My mum would say the same. And as always, these two very good sons will sign off by saying... What will we say, Cliff?
I'll say, that said, even though we don't know if Gosper's actually a good son or not, his mum is also across the outside of the country. So it is harder for him to be a good son.
And you know what? Considering the timing of this episode, we'll release
shit
a day after the event, let's just say, Happy Mother's Day, mums.
Yeah, I totally did a whole bunch of stuff for my mum yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. We're both great
totally
sons.
It's now not 5 minutes before I can go to the shops and obtain some things. My mother.
Yes, my Mother's Day gift to you, Mother Dear, is getting Cliff to say omless so you can listen to the podcast. You're welcome.
I didn't think it was I thought it was like.
Both, really. Let's
That's
just,
true.
Let's get better at English.
We probably
None
should.
None of these spacer yeah. words. Alright, you better go so you can get something that you've already gotten for your mum for Mother's Day.
That was me talking without my spacer words. It was just silence. I don't know any other words.
It's like, I was going to say the Igloosians, but that's the wrong word. The Eskimos, having
the
many
igloosians.
Words for snow. The Igloosians. That's right. I think I had Egyptians in my head from talking about Assassin's
man.
Creed, so my brain went to Igloosians. But the Igloosians, they have many words for snow, just like you have one word for many words.
I mean, that's just not racist at all in any way, is it?
No.
Just like saying that the Native Americans are Tepeans.
And Australians are Kangaroobians.
We're Pouchians. We're hanging out in the pouches of kangaroos.
I'm a Pouchy through and through.
Yeah.
Good lord. I'm good at English. I'm a writer. Igloosians. Goodbye.